The story of the prodigal son is but one of several stories packed into this passage we have just heard from the Gospel of Luke. There is, in fact, a trilogy here. First, there is the story of the son who goes away. Then there is the story of a totally wonderful parent. And finally, there is a story of the son who stays home. Now, any one of the trilogy could occupy us today with a good deal of reflection. But the third of the stories is difficult for us to understand. The older son, the one who remains home, and does everything that is expected of him. And yet, he does end up by being the heavy in this story. What is it then that Jesus is trying to teach us here? First of all, it should be clear that this story, the story of the older son, is our story. How easily we can all identify with the older son who stayed home. Any one of us who has ever felt that they've been taken for granted is immediately able to sympathize with this older son. For example, all of you who are parents, how often you have thought that you give and give and give to your children until finally you become so tired of it all. You get tired of being taken for granted, no matter what you do in life. And so you understand more than anyone else what this older son was really going through. Or to use another example from life, you are standing at the checkout counter in a supermarket, and someone sneaks in ahead of you, and you become all steamed up and say it's simply not fair. And you are right. That's the kind of sympathy we feel when we hear today the story of this older son. It is that feeling of sympathy that we have for him, coupled with the criticism of the older son in the parable, that tells us that we are listening here to something new. The rules of life, which we would regard as usual, do not apply here. The rules of life in this story are suspended. In all ordinary circumstances, what we have heard about the older son is simply unfair. Parents earn the respect of their children. They earn it by all that they do for them. And the rest of us waiting at the checkout line of the supermarket, we earn our place in that line. And so the fact that the older son is criticized teaches us that it is not so in the kingdom of God. The young man's place at home is not something that he has earned. It is a gift that he has received. Very much like the famous laborers who work out in the field in the heat of day all day long, and then they come in and receive the very same pay as those laborers who come in late in the day. Once again, it is not a question of what has been earned. It is a gift. Our place in the kingdom of God is always a gift. It is a grace, always a gift. And if we do realize that it is a gift, we will gradually understand that we should never be envious that our Father is so generous to everyone. Now, the sympathy that we feel for the older son, because we are so much like him, the sense of unfairness that we feel about this whole story of him, reminds us of something that we've all heard so often, and yet we have not really heard in our heart. Whether you have lived your life as a hermit or an ascetic, or whether you have come in rushing breathlessly at the last minute, your presence in the kingdom of God is always a gift that is received. Always a gift. The story of the older son, this jarring quality of the story, is the way that Jesus has of poking us on the shoulder and telling us to listen, to listen to a truth that we've heard in so many ways, so many times, and yet we have not really heard it and understood that it applies to us. None of us has really learned the truth of this story. And yet the story of the older son is above all an attention getter that Jesus uses. The older son, just like any of us, feels that he has been taken for granted. But then the reality of the situation is that it is the older son who does the taking for granted. Never has the older son ever experienced the feeling, the terrible feeling of being lost. Never has he experienced the gladness of being found. Never has he been away, ever, from his physical home. And as a result, now he has been seduced by this fact into taking for granted both his wonderful father and his home, just as we take for granted the very gift of faith that gives meaning to our lives. This is the danger for any one of us who is a faithful Christian. We all tend to take for granted the gift of salvation that has been given to us. We tend to take for granted, as a set fact of our life, that we even know about Christ, the Anointed One. We fail to understand the meaning of the word conversion. Forgiveness that we have received so often is simply assumed. And we forget that everything in our life is a gift, a grace. The church tries in every way possible to teach us that it is all a gift. It is not because we worked for it. Faith is a gift. We are told that we receive the signs of God's grace, the sacraments. We do not reach out and grab salvation or grace or the signs of Christ coming to us that we call sacraments. We receive salvation as a gift by being open and responsive. And we come to our God neither with grasping hands nor with closed fists. We always come with our hands open to receive the grace of God into our lives. The fact that we are told that we receive sacraments is a way that the church has of teaching us continually that salvation, healing, being redeemed, is always a gift. We never earn it. And yet, everything we have is a gift. The very fact that we are here now in the house of God is a gift. The fact that we have the gift of faith in our heart, that we actually believe, that our lives experience the presence of God all through the week. Do we understand at all the gift that we have? We come here each week, and yet what attitude do we have as we come to worship? What is our attitude in coming here? Do we think that we are doing God a favor by coming here? Do we understand that it is the Lord who brings us, who attracts us? That in the words of the preface for the weekday, we have this prayer, Lord, you have no need of our praise, and yet our very desire to come here and thank you is of itself your gift to us. Our prayer of thanksgiving, Lord, adds nothing to your greatness, but it makes us grow in your life. That is the word, the words of a prayer. Are those our words? Our presence here, the very fact we are here is a gift of God. Our desire to give thanks to our God, that very desire is a gift. Do we only now begin to understand why the central act of Christianity is called Eucharist, Thanksgiving? And what a terrible shame it is that for so many people it always takes a tragedy. It takes a tragedy sometimes to learn, to appreciate that it is a gift. Only when perhaps it's about to be taken away from us do we understand that life is a gift, that our health is a gift, that our families are a gift. And yet what do? We spend our time complaining about all the things that we don't like about these gifts, and the rest of them we all take for granted. The Lord Jesus left the story today of the elder son unfinished. The story of the young boy is complete. The young son is home. He's restored to his heritage. The story of the wonderful father, this parent, is complete. The love of this father is constant. But the older son is left standing outside the banquet hall. The older son of the story is angry and bitter. The story is not finished. Could it be that Jesus says to each of us, go ahead? It is a story for each one of us to finish, because it is our story. Each of us asks today the question, am I at home? Or am I still in a distant land? Or am I standing outside the banquet? The older son reminds us that there is no way that we are able to see the love that God has for us with some kind of calculating or jealous eyes. The older son has a long way to go before he really comes home. What about each of us?